Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
This podcast deals with discrimination, homophobia, suicide, and crimes against men and children. Please listen at your own discretion. If you are affected by any of the themes featured in this episode, please contact your local support charity.
He must have gone through a hell of a cover-up personally and gone through on a daily basis some kind of personal torment.
No inkling of anything troubling him or anything like that. Not at all.
And one of the telephone numbers of his clients was John McLennan.
But to have John pondering his arrest all night, I thought it was far too dangerous.
Because he knew he's got a destiny moment at 10 o'clock. So it was just John.
Catching Worms, a Hong Kong true crime podcast. The SIU were on the hunt. They needed an arrest to show London that they were dealing with the scandals that Duffy had revealed in his many letters from prison. They couldn't go after the top brass, so John McLennan was on their most wanted list. An arrest of an expat police officer would be a feather in their cap. They could remove him quietly, and hey presto, problem solved. They spent 1979 trying to gather evidence. For John, he spent 1979 at Ho Man Tin Police Station, working with his friend, fellow Scotsman and detective Ian Grant. John settled down, he fitted in well, and got on with the day job. From the outside, life continued as usual. In October, he attended Ian's wedding with his teammates from the station. He had a lively social life, going to bars, meeting friends for lunches, living the expat life. He seemed, to Ian at least, normal, happy.
And in the weeks or months, you know, in maybe the November, December period, did you notice anything different about John? Did you notice anything unusual?
Again, no, nothing. No inkling of anything troubling him or anything like that. Not at all.
Was John just really good at covering things up? Was he putting on a brave face? I asked author Nigel Collett, was it possible he had no idea that he was even being investigated?
He was aware, because by Christmas of 1979, the police had managed to find, leaning on people in Tim Tatui and gay policemen that they knew about, they found a young boy who was on the game in Tim Tatui, who kept a notebook. And in that notebook were some telephone numbers. And one of the telephone numbers of his clients was John McLennan. So they had actually, by that stage, got some evidence at last. They then widened the net and they went out onto the streets and arrested as many gay prostitutes as they could find, and forced some of them to state that they'd had sex for money with John. Others actually had sex, and they forced them to confess that they had had sex with John. Two of those boys, who actually liked him, then were brave enough to go and tell him that the police had done this and that the police now had evidence. So before Christmas of 79, John McLennan knew that the police had in their hands enough evidence to get him out of the police force.
John is 29 years old. He is on the other side of the world, away from his family, in a city that doesn't really celebrate Christmas. You have to make an effort to make it feel festive. But what was John feeling?
So by Christmas, the police were ready. They had a search warrant and they were poised to arrest him. But they let him stew over Christmas and the New Year.
During this period, he visits with George and receives an anonymous phone call. Can you tell me what happened and why you think that happened?
This was on the New Year's morning. And he had a phone call from an abusive phone call, something about him being gay, and they were going to get him. And he was quite clear that it was somebody in the police force, and he told Slasher George that he was being persecuted by a couple of people that he named to Slasher George in the police force. So he knew what it was.
Now, this is technically hearsay. You're hearing it from us, who heard it from Nigel, who heard it from one of his sources, who then heard it from Slasher George, who apparently heard it from John. And the fact that the SIU were behind these calls, well, that's just a theory.
Over the course of the investigation, it became quite clear that there was at least one person in the SIU, and maybe more, who were not averse to throwing their weight around and to threatening and making anonymous phone calls. Phones were tapped. That was done legally. But people were also getting really weird phone calls. LC2 had phone calls. And there were threats made. There were stupid remarks made. It was clear that there was an attempt to not only intimidate somebody, but to make fools of them. That was what was happening to John McLennan on New Year's morning.
Was that the first call John had received? He couldn't prove it was the SIU, but who else would be doing this? Reportedly, they'd also called LC2, the woman who'd helped John with the Ewan Long dismissal. The premise being that they were trying to intimidate John and Elsie to stop them fighting back. It was January 1980. John had been living in Hong Kong for just over 6 years. And he'd been working in Ho Man Tin Station for over 12 months. He'd been accused of homosexual tendencies in Yuen Long and now was being investigated by the SIU, the Special Investigations Unit tasked with investigating scandalous rumours of homosexuality on the government's payroll. So by now, you'd assume that everyone knew he was gay, especially his friends and those he worked with. But that wasn't the case.
To be a homosexual, particularly of John's type, who was kind of, we would call him closet nowadays, must have been pretty difficult. I had no idea. It must have been he must have gone through a hell of a cover-up personally and gone through on a daily basis some kind of personal torment in these days to hide all this from his colleagues in the police force, who probably 99% would not be sympathetic to homosexuals.
Do you remember when you found that out? At what point did you find that out?
Only after his death. That's when I found out, or it became common knowledge. Because we didn't know, I didn't know that SIU were intending to arrest him on the Monday.
Things came to a head when there was a decision made that he was to be arrested the next morning.
The next morning was to be the 15th of January, and the arrest was going to take place around 10:30 a.m. That was the plan. But now it was January the 14th, the day before, and John was scheduled to work the 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. shift at Ho Man Tin. So whilst John was going about his daily routine, his ears must have been burning.
There was a discussion between the superintendent, the other chief inspector, and myself, and I was very much a discussion about whether or not John's superintendent or chief superintendent, his superior officer, should be warned that John was going to be arrested. John was a serving police inspector. A discussion was whether or not his superior officer should be warned in advance about John's arrest the following morning. And my view was that no, he shouldn't be. Anyway, the vote went against me, if you want to call it a vote, and it was decided that that the senior officer would be informed, but on the condition that he didn't inform John McLennan, for the very reasons I put forward, that he would be very high risk.
And that senior officer was Division Superintendent Jack Trotman.
But Jack Trotman was our boss. He was the senior superintendent, the district commander. He's still alive. He's about 88. Good lad.
Jack Trotman had known what the SIU were up to. Some months earlier, Mike Fulton, the SIU informant, had come to see Jack to seek advice. Jack had offered him support and told Mike that his sexuality was his own private business. So when Jack received the call from the chief superintendent to say that John was about to be charged with 5 counts of gross indecency, Jack felt he owed it to his men to do the decent thing.
Jack being Jack, he was always looked after the troops. That was just Jack's way of doing things.
Unfortunately, his boss was a decent, good guy called Trotman, Superintendent Trotman, who ran the police station that John was part of. And Trotman and his 2IC, who was called Mark Pelly, who was also a decent man, decided that they couldn't let John be arrested without some form of warning so that he could have a lawyer present. And they wanted someone also, too, from the police welfare side to be present so that he got his rights.
So he was informed that John was going to be arrested. So they set up this thing to have him in Jack's office on the Monday morning at 10 o'clock. And then Jack, which he's been pilloried for, which I think unfairly, is Jack thought, well, I should tell him so that he can be prepared.
And out of his loyalty to his troops, Jack arranged for John to talk to a solicitor.
And I understand that he and his deputy, Mark Pelly, who was another good lad, they arranged for a lawyer, and I think it might have been Stephen Llewellyn, to come in and have a private conversation, consultation with John.
And they suggested a lawyer to him. So a solicitor came along to the police station and interviewed John, and they had a long discussion. We're not actually sure exactly what they said to each other, but it's quite clear that John did confess that some of the allegation was going to be true, because he named one of the names of the boys that had warned him that there was a case coming.
By informing John, Jack became a scapegoat, as if what was about to happen would have never happened if Jack had just kept his mouth shut.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
it was quite clear there's a possibility that he would inform John. Jack Trotman's a very nice, kind person. And as I said at the time, you might ask him not to inform John, but it's the likelihood that he would.
So John was made aware. And of course, Jack bore the brunt of criticism for telling John. And of course, the blame because of what John did, which is actually ludicrous if you think of it in that way, that Jack was responsible for what happened, what John did, you know, because he told him. He was just trying to act out of his concern for the guy.
Well, in fact, the senior officer did inform John McLennan, as we found out later. He thought it was only fair, but rather tragically, the fairness was not really, shouldn't be the issue. It was a danger to himself, should have been the issue.
I asked Detective Noro MacKillop why he felt it was so important that John was not given the heads up.
Because of my knowledge of John, my assessment of John as being a danger to himself, because he always tried to portray the macho image. And I felt quite strongly that if John was told the night before that his macho image was about to implode and he was going to be exposed as a not only a homosexual, but someone committing crimes, then he might be a high risk of suicide. That was my view, and I was very strong about it. And I was very adamant that the senior officer should not be told in advance. I mean, it wasn't such a huge case that he couldn't be told at the same time the arrest was to be conducted. But to have John pondering his arrest all night, I thought it was far too dangerous, given my personal knowledge of John.
It makes you wonder, is Norrie speaking with hindsight, or was John labelled as a high-risk case?
Would you have said that he was quite a stable character?
Yeah, well, in my experience, I wouldn't say he was unstable.
Detective Ian Grant knew him well.
He was just one of the guys. Everybody was a bit different. You know, you have to bear in mind, and you've gone through it yourself coming to Hong Kong. I always used to think that if somebody made it all the way to Hong Kong, they had something going for them. And it could be because they were a bit odd, or otherwise they just had something going for them. So I always had a bit of respect for anybody whoever got out there, because they weren't the talkers who were still sitting in the bar 10 years later. You know, and John was just an ordinary bloke, you know. Not spectacular, you know. He didn't play sports that I knew of. You know, he was not that way inclined. You know, so he was just John.
Stable character, just John. Just John, who had dealt with the case New and Long, who had fought back and kept his job before. Just John, who had known the SIU were investigating him since Christmas. Just John, who was supported by his senior officers and offered legal advice. So, you can understand why they felt John could handle it.
And for someone to be told the night before that they're going to be arrested the following morning for such a case for homosexual crimes, someone like John, as I said, to me, that it was just ludicrous. If they were going to arrest them, just do it and give them no time to ponder and think. And poor John had all night to worry about it.
And that night, the night of the 14th of January 1980, was different. It was different to all the other accusations John had faced before. Perhaps because these accusations were true. Or perhaps, as Nigel Collett puts it,
his entire life was about to collapse.
Next time on Catching Worms.
Was found the next day dead.
They found his body on the floor by the bed in the bedroom.
So he didn't have a gun.
So 5 shots from a revolver.
It wasn't a suicide. No matter what the evidence was, the they screamed murder.
That was a sufficient motive for someone to want to kill him.
He probably wouldn't have pulled that trigger. He was possibly murdered.
This has been a Create podcast. Make sure you hit the subscribe or follow button so you never miss an episode. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, then please leave us a review and a 5-star rating. It helps others to find us. You can follow us on Instagram at CatchingWormsHK. With special thanks to Nigel Collette, author of A Death in Hong Kong, Detective Nori McKillop, and Detective Superintendent Ian Grant. And thank you for listening.
Catching Worms, Zhuk Chong. This term means to get yourself into trouble, causing unnecessary difficulties. It may seem like an odd phrase, but this slang is often used as an abbreviation of the full saying Zhuk Chong Yap Si Fat. That involves putting said worms up your rear end, which to anyone's imagination definitely spells trouble indeed.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.